This morning's message is going to be a little bit different, and I'm going to explain that in a moment. I've got a guest joining me for this, Helen, and I'll introduce her in a moment as we get seated. Those of you who have been around in the last months will know that in recent weeks, Pastor Dave Heinrichs walked us through the book of Ruth. And one of the things that impacted me early on in that first chapter was a story that I want to follow up on, that I thought, I want to spend some more time here and have a conversation on coping with loss and grief. And in that story of the book of Ruth, Naomi, she's married to her husband, they have two kids, they move away to Moab for a while, and the story just begins, and by the time you get to verse 5, Naomi has lost her husband and her two adult sons. And she is alone. And I've often thought, actually the depth of her loss is triggered later on in verse 20. She will make her way back to Bethlehem, to her hometown, with her daughter-in-law Ruth, the one who sticks with her. And yet when she arrives in Bethlehem, it says the whole town was stirred because of them. And the women exclaim, "Can this be Naomi?" I wonder if she had aged decades in that one decade that she was away. You need to know that her name means pleasant. Is this pleasant? Because she probably wasn't looking very pleasant at that moment. In fact, she responds by saying, "Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter." Mara is the name that she says, but in Hebrew it means bitter. And then she says, "For the Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty." And I've often wondered that moment before moving on in the story too quickly. How did she cope with her loss? Did Naomi pray? If she did, what did she say? Maybe all she could do was cry out, "Lord, have mercy." And how did the people around her respond when somebody says, "Don't call me pleasant, call me bitter"? Okay, some people may just back off and give space. Or did they actually, were they miserable comforters? In the book of Job, Job says, "You miserable comforters." They just want to keep talking and talking and try to figure out why this has happened. Or were Naomi's friends good listeners? Did they let her get that bitterness out and off her chest, so to speak? Now, I don't know, but when I thought of coping with loss and grief and helping those around us, I decided to ask Helen to help me. Helen, you and I have talked about loss in each of our lives on a number of occasions over the years. And those conversations have been deeply helpful and meaningful to me. And so when I thought of talking about this issue, I thought, I want to call up Helen and see if she will join me. And so I want to thank you for joining us in today's conversation. Now, many people I know in the congregation know you, but some don't, and some watching online may not. So I wondered if you could just introduce yourself and tell us a bit about why you agreed to join me for today's presentation.
Okay. Yes. My name's Helen Bartel, and we've been attending this church for over 40 years. So we're part of almost that original group. And I agreed to do this because I think it's an important subject to talk about. And it's not an easy subject to talk about. And I'm certainly not an expert, and it's not about my experiences today. It's about sharing some of what I've learned and also the gifts that God gives us and His presence that we have always with us.
Now, when I was talking with you about loss and grief, you mentioned how many people have experienced a wide variety of losses, not just the loss of people in their life, which people have. But I wonder if you could just say more about that.
A loss occurs when something or someone that we have in our life that is important to us, is cherished by us, is no longer there. And all of us at some point in time have experienced loss. This loss might be the loss of a job or some financial loss, the loss of a beloved family pet even, the loss of a dream of one's health or one's independence. Or it could be the loss of a friend or a loved one. The first time one experiences such a significant loss, it can be devastating. This past year and a half during the pandemic has been a time of loss for many people. And we may have experienced the loss of a loved one due to COVID-19, or we may know of others in our community that have suffered such a loss. We've all suffered loss, experienced the death of a family or a friend. All of the elders in my life have passed on, parents, in-laws, aunts and uncles, and we mourn their leaving. I'm sad to see them go, but we feel that this is normal. It's much more difficult when our loved ones are young or have a terminal illness or it's a sudden death, and that can be very difficult.
Yeah, and I found that really helpful thinking about how broad that is, because I thought about my dad passed away during COVID this last year in October, not from COVID, but during that time. But I also remember when he lost his license, for example. And that was a great loss, a loss of independence. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I lost a job years ago, I was watching a kid's movie, and the Minions lost their job. They all got their layoff notice. And I found myself crying in the midst of it. It triggered that. And so, yeah, when we were talking about some of the losses in Naomi's life in the book of Ruth, you talked about how each of those losses would have affected her differently. Indeed, you know, in that culture, the loss of the men in her life, you know, meant significant that she lost even her identity. Mm-hmm. I actually went back in Hebrew, in Ruth 1 verse 5. Now, in English translations, it says, and so Naomi was left, you know, without her husband and her two sons. But in Hebrew, in the original language, it just says, and the woman was left. And I realized she lost all of her, even her identity, in the midst of that. And all of those, these losses are different, probably handled quite differently. And wonder if you could, you know, and provoke different feelings. Mm-hmm. You say something more about that.
Yeah, feelings are really important. And as you were saying, loss is different each time, and it's also different for each person. It's a little bit different. Yes, our faith helps us cope with the losses in our life, but we still experience the feelings. When we experience a loss, we have many feelings. Feelings of sadness, anger, pain, feeling overwhelmed, frozen, numb, or totally devastated. I have done a wall hanging about those feelings, and it's in the entryway if anybody wants to look at it after. When a loved one passes on after a terminal illness as well, we often feel relief that their suffering is over. Then we may feel guilty, that we don't feel really sad. We have already done a lot of grieving as the end approached. The sadness will come later as we reminisce. In order to cope with loss and move through it, we must acknowledge our feelings. They're just that, feelings. They're not right or wrong. Having all those feelings does in no way minimize our faith. In fact, it makes us human, and it makes us really cling to our faith.
I want to pick up on that a bit more, but I think the feelings can be, you know, totally overwhelming at times. And when you mentioned, you know, I know sometimes people, when it's been a long journey and the person finally passes, it's like that feeling of guilt. You know, actually, I thought I should feel grief, but as you said, all of that, the most of the grieving was done together with the person.
That's right.
Along the way. And yet, there's other times where I didn't see that coming. I was talking to someone recently, and they said, you know, we just found out the person was sick, and we started praying for them, and then also I find out they passed away. And that sudden loss and the shock in the midst of that, and We'll get, I know, to some of that, you know, processing those kind of, but the losses are different. Now, you know, you say that it can enhance faith. I remember God teaching me, for example, in the midst of grief on one occasion, just It felt like the deepest grief that I had ever experienced. And yet I also remember him teaching me in the midst of that, I'm enlarging your capacity also for comfort. It's like the deeper that we can feel grief, and yet then the comfort that we can feel is also greater than what we had had. And you've also talked about grief not only as a feeling, and it's mm-hmm. important to express those, but also a process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you tell us more about this kind of grieving process or okay. processes?
Okay. Before I do that, yeah. I just wanted to talk a bit about memories. Mm-hmm. We have many happy memories in our life. Could be a birth of a child, a grandchild. In our case, a great-granddaughter. or children graduating from high school, a wedding, things like that. And we remember those, and we carry those memories with us. They become part of the fabric of our life. So too do the sad memories. We carry them with us, and the difficult memories as well. Often well-meaning family or friends will say, you just need to get over the loss and get on with your life. And this is not helpful, and it's actually very hurtful, because it makes us feel like our pain is not being acknowledged. The feelings that we have, the intense feelings that we have, they'll change and they'll soften over time, but they don't go away completely. And they too become the fabric of our life. So that's a little bit about tying grief and feelings together. Mm-hmm. But in order to cope with the losses that happen in our life, we must grieve, we must mourn. Time doesn't heal. It's grieving and mourning. It's that process that actually allows us to do that, so that after the death, we can find comfort and we can go on living.
Can you just pause mm-hmm. here for a moment? And just that element of time. You know, people say time heals all wounds. Mm. Is that true?
No, I don't think so. I think the pain softens, and our life goes on, and we still have good times in our life. We still have laughter. We have joy. We have all those things. But I guess in a way, it softens it. But I think if you may meet people that have had a significant loss in their life, and they get stuck, and they're unable to move on, they're unable to be happy and to find peace, because they didn't talk about their feelings, they didn't work through their feelings, they didn't acknowledge the loss and the significance it had in their life. They just shut down. And so they could have all the time in the world, but they wouldn't move on.
Mm, I think that's really helpful. I've often thought about when we have, I say, time doesn't heal all wounds, but some wounds take time to heal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think of it, it's like I have scars at different times. On my leg, I have a deep wound where when I was a teenager, sliced. That took, literally, really, it closed over, but it took years to heal fully. Mm-hmm. And often I think that this element of time, that the deeper the wound, the more time it will take. And if we just kind of cover it over, don't let the oxygen in, don't talk about it, it kind of festers, it doesn't. Mm-hmm. Whereas when we kind of open up, talk with others, and are open about that, it kind of lets the oxygen in for healing to take place.
Yeah, and some people need to talk more. Other people mm-hmm. need to just acknowledge within themselves or find other resources. There isn't one way for people to deal with grief and loss. Mm-hmm. It's a variety of things. And we'll talk a little bit about culture because mm-hmm. and family structures, because that has an impact as well.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so, and grieving is a process. And initially, there's a shock and a denial that this has happened. We may feel alone and incredibly sad, especially if the loss is sudden. We may question how this has happened. How could God allow this to occur? We often feel anger at God. Then we may move to feelings of depression, unable to function as the feelings and sadness take over our life. We can finally then come to a period of acceptance. There's no timeline, as each person is an individual, and each loss is different. Grieving isn't a simple process. It's not a straight line. It's actually circular. It will circle back, especially if it's an anniversary or a memory, will bring back feelings of sadness or despair.
Can I just pause it there for a moment? Because I remember you talking about that. I remember some friends who had lost. It was a deep loss. A teenage daughter who had been lost. It was kind of one of those anniversaries. Mm-hmm. A couple of years later, and I remember talking to them, and they said, "It feels like we've made it just hurts just as much as it did then." And you say, "How do you know at that point that there actually has been some healing, even if it feels like it's just exactly the same?"
Well, I guess it's individual again, and I guess it's what you do about it. I think it's good to remember those days, to, in a way, celebrate the life, to do some things that make it easier to cope with the day, to maybe even take the day off work, go for a walk, do something special, do something to remember that loss. Not so much the loss, but the person. Each subsequent anniversary becomes easier. And I sometimes think it's the anticipation of the anniversary that is more stressful than the actual day. And you know you got through it last year, so you know you can get through it this year. But you just don't want to go through the pain. So you find ways to cope with that. You do something special for yourself, something that counteracts the pain, something, spend it with somebody that's close to you. There's a variety of things that you can do.
Yeah, and maybe we'll come back to that.
Okay.
Thanks.
All right. So I talked about this. I just wanted to make the point again that one doesn't really get over the loss. One learns to live with it, and it will soften over time. Sometimes it takes a long time. Some losses are more difficult, and it's also very individualized.
The specific grieving process that a person goes through may be quite distinct, and yet there are commonalities, even across different cultures, and how they do that. And things that we can benefit from other cultures and traditions, especially, in our culture, Western culture, this tendency to avoid death. In my time as a pastor, I started in 1992. It's been a few years, okay? And I remember just even as a young, my first funeral, I was probably about 10 years old, going to my grandfather's funeral. And now there's less and less people having funerals. People 30, 40 years old, never been to a funeral before. And so our culture, I think, is just like, how do people grieve? And I know that one of the books that you mentioned even gets into different traditions. It's helpful to look at how do different cultures grieve? How do they mourn? Could you talk more about that?
Yeah. Mourning is kind of the acts, the customs, the rituals that by which we mark a death. It's called mourning. And each society has found ways to support the person that has experienced the loss. And each family, many families have different traditions, cultures, ethnic groups, and some of them are helpful, not all, but a lot of them are helpful, and it helps us provide some structure and some safety for people that are mourning and grieving. And as David said, traditionally our society has not dealt well with loss, death, mourning, or grieving. And it's not something we talk about. And often you'll find that grief is private and hidden, so we don't really know how someone is doing. And many young people grow up without extended family support and may not experience those kinds of customs. But there is a wealth of support from friends, from church, family, that is available for people to help them walk through that grief.
Mm. I think over the years, one of the greatest resources that I, as a pastor, have seen is as a church. I think early on, I thought everybody looked to me, you know, to help them, whatever situation in life that they were going through, look to the pastor. And I began to see that there's so many people within the church that I would talk. Everybody has gone through some experience of loss, pain, disappointment, difficulty. And I began to realize these are great resources. And I remember when I first started thinking about, you know, I know someone in our church who went through that kind of loss. I was wondering if you'd be interested in talking about them. And then I would call that person and say, I've been meeting with someone, and I thought of you. Would you be willing to talk to them? And you're one of those people in this. And so I know from time to time I will refer in that way. But I think that is one of the great, tremendous things that we have within the congregation is all different levels. I can talk to people. How did you experience that as a kid? Or as a family, or as an extended family? Or how did you experience that sudden loss? Or how did you experience when you just felt guilt because you thought, I should be grieving, but I'm kind of relieved that this long process and painful process mm-hmm. is over. And so I do think and sometimes people have their own traditions or rituals. Mm-hmm. I just wondered if we talk a little bit. I know out in the foyer area, as you mentioned, you know, you do sewing, quilting. Mm-hmm. And it's one of the ways that you, what do you find, is that a tradition? Is it a ritual? What have you found helpful about that?
About
expressing that. Like, you know, putting the different emotions on a wall hanging and stuff.
Oh, okay. I use my quilting and a way to, share or deal with things. Often the quilts I make are just for holidays or for comfort or to give to people. I see feelings in color and in patterns and that's how I look at life. So it's relatively easy for me to look at some fabric, design something, express the feelings of being numb, being frozen. And then I used icy blue colors for that. So it's just how I look at life.
It's been, when I've seen some of those, been to your mm-hmm. place and you shared some of those, it's been a conversation, mm-hmm. You know, piece as well with the midst of that. And that's been a gift. And one of the things that you talked about as well is we can think about, the pain, the losses. And yet you said, and yet there's gifts, God's gifts along the way. And you talked
more
about
that. There's always gifts. I don't know about you, but I used to get gifts as a child that I didn't like. you know, a houseplant, and I didn't like houseplants, or a funny pair of socks, you know. So not all the gifts that God gives us are the ones we really want to have, right? But I think God gives us many gifts, and he has many promises, and if we read the scriptures, we see those. But when I'm thinking about loss and grieving, there are some gifts that kind of stand out for me. And first of all, God has given us the promise that he will always be there for us, even in the midst of our grief. He is there for us. And some people feel that it's easy to believe in God when things are going well and harder when they're not. I actually find it opposite to that. I find that when things are really difficult and challenging, my belief in God is it's like it's there. It's because I need it. I depend on it. And some days it feels like that's all I've got. And so it's stronger. Mm-hmm. And God gives us gifts during our grief. The feelings and emotions may remain, but we can claim these gifts by faith. We may not feel like them, but we can claim them by faith, believing in God. So he gives us the gift of love. It's always constant. It's non-judgmental. And he will never leave us. He says in Joshua 1:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that's the first one. The second one is the gift of joy. And to me, that's in the small things each day. The laughter of children, lunch with a friend, a good book, the beauty of nature. Those are all the things that give us joy on a daily basis. The gift of hope, things that will get better in the near future, as well as that we will see our loved ones again in eternity. The gift of peace is the underlying peace that only God can give us in the midst of personal chaos. Peace that enables us to say, it is well with my soul, no matter what the circumstances. Hmm.
It is well with my soul. When we were talking about that, mm-hmm. I was reminded, when I was that first funeral as a kid, it was my grandfather's funeral, and went to the funeral, and I was struck for a long time that the song, one of the songs we were singing is, it is well with my soul. When peace like a river attendeth my way, you know, but when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, you have taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And I think for years, it's just like, I didn't really get that. And then I remember going years later, going through a time of loss and talking at a previous church and talking with the church secretary. And I said, you know, I just sense this kind of peace, like, the burden of the loss is somehow being lightened. And I said, and what comes to mind is it's the prayers of God's people. I know people are praying for me. And she said, yes. And she shared a very similar story. And I thought about that. It is well with my soul in terms of that sense of hope. You also talked about, another verse that's come to mind for me is, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, talks about, Paul has this line in there, we do not grieve as those who have no hope. It doesn't say we don't grieve, but it says we do not grieve as those without hope, and that gift of hope, one of those gifts. I wonder, is loss ever good? Like, is there other things? Because it feels bad, and yet we get gifts in the midst of it. And
I don't think it's either good or bad. I think it just is. And I would never wish loss on someone. But, however, I believe that loss is part of our lives. And all of us, at some point in time, experience loss and will experience other losses in the future. Death and dying is just as much a part of life as birth is. And we know that and we believe that. We can deny our losses or we can learn from them and hold on to the gifts that God gives us. And I guess and grow and change because those experiences do change us if we allow them to.
I just want to say that something. I think of my mom's death years ago was quite sudden. We were just given suddenly, you know, she's not going to recover from this. And yet, some of these gifts that God gave in the midst of it, I mean, even when she would be sleeping for most of the day, when she would come to, she was just total clarity. She shared a story with me of how she had been praying that I would become a pastor, but she didn't want to say that to me. Because she thought that might kind of spook me or pressure me. Either way, I had never heard that story before. And she said, but I saw that you were reading your Bible every day. And I thought, God, you're going to speak to him. I know it. And that was such a tremendous gift to me, given in one of the greatest losses in my life, that those are both together. I feel that loss, and yet I would not give up anything for that gift, mm-hmm. one of those final gifts that my mother gave me in the midst of that God gave me through her. And so I really appreciate you sharing about that as well. What else can loss do, maybe, for us in our lives?
Well, it can.
Page five.
Experience loss can make us more empathetic. One can not understand another's pain unless we've walked a similar journey. It also teaches us that life is precious and not to be taken lightly. There's no guarantees in life, and God does not promise a pain-free life. He just promises that he will be with us no matter what happens. And it also teaches us, and it taught me, to live in the present. We do not know what the future holds. We do not know, and maybe that's just as well, because I'm not sure I could have coped if I'd known what my future held. So it's best to enjoy the abundant life that God has for us, the gifts in his presence and the family times and those things, because we don't know how long we will have those for.
Yeah, and I think that keeping our eyes open to those, even in the midst of it. You said even little things, you know. I remember Elaine and I, with our third child, we were going back and forth to the hospital all the time. You know, he was in ICU. And coming home, and our other two kids at home, preschoolers, yet their laughter did more to buoy us up at the end of a day when we felt spent. And so I know you've often talked about those, and I think those little things can have a big impact in our life.
Yeah, one of my fond memories is at one of our family funerals was the little grandchildren running around in the gym, just being kids, and my daughter-in-law wasn't going to bring them. I said, well, don't come if you're not bringing the kids, because I need the kids to be there. And that was the hope for the future. That was the pure joy, and that was a gift that day for me.
Now, you know, when we were talking about this, you said, what are your goals for this conversation? And I said, well, I have two goals for this conversation. One was to, can we provide some help to people who are grieving a loss? And also, for those who are trying to come alongside and help someone who is grieving. And actually, last week, after I shared with you, after last week's message, someone came up to me and exactly shared about a loss. And they were trying to kind of help their group to go through that. And I said, this is timely. Be back here next week. We're going to be having a conversation about that. So first, let's talk about what can we do when we experience a loss?
Okay, I think one of the things to do is to acknowledge the feelings, recognizing that grieving takes time and that our feelings may stay with us for quite some time. Talk to God. Even express your anger and sadness to him. David was angry at God in some of his Psalms. The prophets talked to God and said, why are you doing these things? So there is lots of stories in the Bible about people being upset and angry with God and talking to God. And that's all prayer is. It's just having a conversation with God. And then sometimes it feels that God's all you're hanging on to, and that's okay. Get through the days just one day at a time. You don't have to worry about tomorrow or making plans for the future. Today is all you can cope with, and that's all you have to deal with. Temporarily withdraw from commitments. A temporary separation may allow one the needed time to grieve. And take a break from feeling sad or talking about your feelings about being sad. Do something that gives you pleasure. Share some funny memories. There's always funny memories from people. Watch a funny movie, spend time with a friend. Laughter and tears are both wonderfully healing. And allow family and friends to support, including church family, and talk to a counselor if needed.
One of the things this week for me that just picked up on, I lost my sister a number of years, and her daughter has moved out here into our area. And so she's never picked blackberries before, so I said, be prepared, you need some body armor to do that. But as we were doing that, you know, I know she's wanting stories about her mom, but I'm also wanting to be able to talk. It was a wonderful opportunity for us to talk about my sister, about her mom, and how she would have responded. And I know that my sister, Marilyn, you know, when she got pricked with the big barbs here, I know what she would have said. I can't repeat that here. And she would have said, I'm going to the store instead and buying them. And we laughed about that. And it was healing to be able to share some of those memories and to talk together. How can we support someone also someone's going through loss, and sometimes like, I don't know what to do in the midst of that?
Well, maybe that's the first step. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to say. And maybe say those things. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But acknowledge the fact they have feelings and that they need to grieve. You may need to give a person some space and some time, but don't give up. Stay in touch and let them know that you're praying for them. Keep confidence as if they share things. Let them know that that's... if they wish to share it further, that's fine, but it's important to keep confidences. Offer practical help. Say, would it be helpful if I did such and such at such and such a time on such and such a day? Would that help you out? Because asking people that are grieving, how can I help you? They'll say, I'm fine, I don't need any help, which isn't true, but they can't sort of format it yet.
Can you just say a bit more about that? Because I hear that often. If you need anything, just let me know.
Yeah, well, nobody's going to let you know. Because, it doesn't work that way. So you can say, I'll phone you tomorrow, or I'll phone you in a week and check and just see how things are. But make sure you do. Otherwise, that person's never going to ask for help if you don't follow through. And say, would it be helpful if I brought by a meal for the family tomorrow night? And are there any allergies or food preferences or whatever? So don't show up with something they can't eat or don't like to eat. So you need to be a little bit more, get some more information. So, or would you like to go for lunch on Wednesday? Something really specific. And they can say yes or no. And you can say, okay, how about I call you in 2 or 3 days, or I'll call you back, or whatever. I think it's important to take the initiative, because that person will not ask for help.
Yeah, and I've appreciated that and seen that when people do that, because I think you had mentioned before, you've got so many decisions, or you can just be feeling so overwhelmed that the effort required to have to think about, well, what do I need, or, you know, is too much effort really at that point in time. Whereas if it's just, would it be helpful if blank or not, or maybe at a different date?
Yeah. And I think that people that are grieving are often not eating well, they're not sleeping, they're not physically active, so that their body is shut down physically, they're not in good shape. So it just may not be the right time, but don't give up. Mm. Yeah, and then if they are wanting to do something, you can offer a break to do something fun, something simple. Sometimes people just need a distraction to take a break for a while. And then encourage someone to seek help if they need to talk to a counselor. Even if they are interested or feel that would help them, then find some counseling information, some phone numbers, addresses, names, things like that. And then if they do follow through and that's something that they want, then perhaps even offer to drive them. Mm-hmm. Would it be helpful if I picked you up and drove you and then picked you up after? Those kinds of helpful suggestions go a long way to making people feel that you do care, rather than this, can I help you? Which doesn't help. But it is important, if you make a commitment, that you follow through. Because immediately following a death, there's a lot of busyness and work to do. Families and friends to contact, perhaps a service to plan, paperwork, decisions to make. And it takes a few weeks for all of this to happen. And by that time, family and friends' lives have become more normal. And that person that's grieving is kind of left. Their life is not normal. It will change. It will never go back to what it was before. It will get better. But right now, it's not good for them. So that is the time that people definitely need a friend to come along. It's often about 6 weeks after. They really need a friend to come alongside and be there. And sometimes just be there and listen. That's sometimes all you can do. In Psalm 23, the psalmist says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." When I was younger, I used to think that that referred to one's own death. But I've come to realize that it applies to more than that, such as when we walk alongside of someone, either when they're dying or a family member is dying, or they have experienced a loss and they're grieving. We don't get to push, pull, or prod. I told David that person to move on. We only get to walk alongside. That's all we get. And it's a challenge, and it's a privilege to walk alongside someone at this time in their life.
Yeah. You'll often, it's on sacred ground. It's really, it is a real privilege to be invited into that space. Mm-hmm. In people's lives. And I like to kind of, Psalm 23 is one of those life preservers, I often call it, when we can feel like we're kind of overwhelmed or drowning in the midst of it. And it's so helpful to have those life preservers, whether it's a song or scriptures that God uses. I want to thank you for having this conversation together today. And I know, thank you for, we've had the private, personal conversations, but for having this public conversation today, I really want to thank you for that. And maybe you could just give your note of thanks as well.
Okay. Well, it's been a privilege to share this with you this morning, and I know this is not an easy discussion to take place, but I trust that this sharing has increased your understanding of loss and grieving, and that it will be helpful to you as you continue to work through present losses, future losses. But most importantly, I believe that we can continue to support each other and that we can claim the gifts that God gives us through faith, love, joy, hope, and peace. Thanks.
Thank you. Just want to invite the worship team to come up. And as they're coming up, let's just close this time together in prayer yet. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God who has always promised to be with us. Not that we always feel your presence, but you have made that commitment to us. And Lord, I think of how, even in Naomi's life, how they just went about their business, went one day at a time. And Lord, in the midst of that, you were at work doing big things through small events and activities. Lord, I pray that you would give us eyes to see the signs of hope, the experiences of joy that you bring into our lives, even in the midst of loss. And Lord, as we look around for others who also, Lord, and come alongside those who are experiencing loss and grief, Lord, that we might be your hands, your feet, your presence for hope and healing. Amen.